The title of the message I've titled The Parable of the Great Banquet. And I've preached this message before. I'm not sure if I preached it here or if I preached it somewhere else. But it's found in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, is the story of that Jesus told there. But I'd like to preface that with three verses in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. It says there, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, that passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we have the contrast of the things that are fun right now, the things that we desire right now, the things that we really want, that our flesh really wants to do right now, but they'll pass away. Then we have the abstract, which we call it the abstract because it's by faith. It's not something that we just naturally want to do, but it's the will of God. But that abideth forever. That would be the eternal side. The thing I'd like to talk about this morning, or ask a question this morning, is have you taken every good opportunity that came your way this past week? And you might not even, you don't even have to answer that question in here, but think about it. Have you taken the good opportunities that came your way, or have you let some of them go? And this week, there'll be opportunities that come that you'll have, and maybe you won't even realize them as opportunities. Maybe they'll look as like trials. Maybe they'll look like trials. But God gives invitations. He gives an invitation, and he gives us many times the choice between doing what we feel like doing and doing the will of the Father. Those might be abstract concepts. But for me, sometimes it's easier, or it's a lot more, I'm just telling you how I think, but it's a lot more fun and interesting to go what would be an example? To go mow the yard than it is to study for a message. I'll just be up front. It's a lot more fun. Or it's a lot more fun to go clean up my shop and organize it than it is to study for a message. And so it's easy to push, to cram all these urgent things that I kind of enjoy doing and push off the things that I don't enjoy doing, even though one has more eternal value than the other one. My shop will be dirty if I clean it up yesterday, which I didn't, but I should have. If I clean it up yesterday and got it all perfect, it'll be dirty by next Saturday. It just will. Because I have children that work in it, and their dad works in it. And it just, things just go, it's very temporal. Although I enjoy just piddling around and cleaning things up and organizing. I really enjoy that. But those are opportunities that come. I tend to prioritize sometimes of the wrong opportunities sometimes. And I think that's the gist of a little bit of what I'd like to get out of this in Luke chapter 14. We'll start in verse 15 and read down through 24. Jesus told this parable. Actually, we'll break in verse 15. But one of them that sat at meat with Jesus heard these things. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." So after the kingdom of God comes and the people that are in the kingdom of God, those are blessed people. And Jesus said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. All these people had an opportunity to attend this wedding. They didn't realize that this wedding was how important this was. But they all had pressing obligations or things they would rather do than accept this invitation. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. None of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know, today we have the same opportunity. We have the invitation. We have the invitation to the supper. And it's in the Bible, in Revelations, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. The church, as the bride of Christ, is preparing, it has the invitation to the supper, to the banquet. We have that invitation extended today, but have we just bought a piece of ground? And instead of getting ready for the supper, do we go out to look at the piece of ground? And I think sometimes we don't realize, you know, while we have so many things happening in our life, there's so many things happening and so many things pressing on us that we tend to put priority on the things that we can see, the things that are right here, the things that either gratify us right now or the things that we can see immediate returns on. And it's a little hard for us to grasp what we should be prioritizing. You know, the invitation is open to join the kingdom of God. Are we committed to following through with that? You know, we have all of us that have received the invitation. We've received that call. We've received that call. Do we have excuses for what we do with it? You know, last Sunday, we had, I think in the opening, I had talked about the talents. And Jesus this is, he was explaining the kingdom of God and how this has been given. He talks in parables a lot, but he gave a talent to, he gave five talents to one person, he gave two talents to somebody else, and he gave one talent to another person. And they had an opportunity to use that, to give account. And they had to give an account for what they did, but he gave it to them. Well, now the parable is the invitation. We have an invitation to come. But do we have excuses? I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. In 1 John, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The temptation is very strong to love the things that are in the world, the things that we that give us gratification right now. But I bought a piece of ground. It could be our occupation. You know, some of us, and this isn't true probably across the board, but it is a temptation for a lot of us that our occupation is tied to our identity or our self-worth. We look at each other and we look around and, well, I see so-and-so over here. He's maybe doing better than I am, So I need to do a little bit better so that I can at least be as good as him. Over here, you know, that's a little different. You know, we have a little sets of comparisons, right? But it's not wise. It's not wise. But often that competition drives us to maintain a certain lifestyle, either to outdo somebody else or to keep up with somebody else. And sometimes that competition can cloud our acceptance or our working towards the making ready for the invitation that we have. Now there is the other side of that is that we are called to provide for our own. And so we need to do that. We need to be involved in generating income. We do. That there's that side too. I'm wanting you to think this morning. What are we doing with the invitation? Or what excuse are we using? Have we bought the piece of ground? What opportunities do we have for our occupation to conflict with building the king, with building God's kingdom? I'm too busy. That's a very common one I struggle with. I'm too busy. And for me, it's very easy to get frustrated. I say very easy. It's almost impossible, I think, for me not to get frustrated with that. With trying to work, it's a full-time job. And trying to be a dad is almost a full-time job. And trying to work, do the other responsibilities that I have is almost a full-time job. And it's very, very frustrating to know where to go. So I'm preaching this to myself. It's something that I need very, very much. I'm too busy is an excuse, but I think it's a reason sometimes. I justify it as a reason. Another excuse, I put too much effort into this occupation to quit now. Or I'm right in the middle of projects, or I haven't accomplished my goals yet. Let me get past this point, and then I'll do it. I'll focus on the invitation. It can be an excuse that I use. The other reason that was given in the parable is I bought five yoke of oxen, and I must go to try them out. I need to go try them out. Well, the oxen was the equipment, right? So the ground was the asset. Well, they're both assets, I guess, but we have the business, and then we have the equipment. So I have a business, and now I need to add equipment to it. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. You know, we need equipment to work with. One yoke is good. What about 5 yoke? Wouldn't that get you a little? Wouldn't that get me a little bit more? A little more honor, a little more gain, a little more envy from my neighbors? Maybe. You know, in 1 John, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can apply it in different ways, but sometimes, in order to keep up with my lifestyle that I want, I add more things that makes me busier, that makes so it's hard to accept the invitation. That's my problem that I struggle with. But I bought oxen. I need to go prove them. Or I have equipment. I've got payments to make. That's another thing that we have. I got payments to make. I've got to have more cash flow so that my wheel can turn. But in some of that, it can be, we like nice things too. Some of us really like nice things, or I do, I like nice things. And we feel pressured to have to buy these things to so we can enjoy them, but also so that other people can look up to us as being, as not being lazy or having arrived at a certain place in life. But what opportunities do our possessions give us for not accepting the invitation? What opportunities? You can fill in the blanks there. But some excuses are, I've worked all my life for what I have today. I don't want to, I've acquired this equity. I've worked hard for it. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to go backwards. Or I couldn't give that up. What would everyone think? What would everyone think if I just gave up and let things slide? The other thing is our family duties. That was the other excuse that was given. And those are things, those are real pressures. And you know, sometimes we have our family duties that take time too, and they're God-given. But what opportunities do family responsibilities provide to conflict with the invitation? I'm sure you know what your family situation is, and you know how those family duties can take up your time. We shouldn't neglect them. But sometimes, or do we ever have a tendency to prioritize family time over spirit time, spiritual kingdom building? I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. In Luke 14:26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife, or love them less than me, is what it means, and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. If you love your family more than me, then you won't be in the kingdom of God. You can't be my disciple. Sometimes we're called to do something for God, and we turn down the call because we feel it would be a hardship for our family. Or we put family on a higher priority than God. And that's tricky sometimes. It's very tricky. Not to neglect our family. We don't want to do that. And God gave our family first before he gave us other responsibilities, especially gain responsibilities through life. Our family was given to us, and we should put our family on a higher priority than our business, for sure. But we need to serve Christ first. We need to train our family, bring our family with us into the kingdom if we can. Well, we can't bring them into the kingdom, but we can train them. We can give them an opportunity and the knowledge to make the decision to join the kingdom if they have gone as well. But we shouldn't sacrifice God's kingdom for our family. But you know, the opportunities that we are given, that invitation that we are given, if we don't accept it, it will be filled. It will be filled. Just because we don't accept it doesn't mean that it won't happen. It'll just happen without us. But the opportunity that these people had in this parable, they did not realize the importance of the opportunity that they were missing. They looked at the invitation, and they looked at the things that they were facing at the moment, and they put more priority on their land and their oxen, their equipment or whatever they had there, and their family responsibilities than they did in accepting that invitation. And I know it was a parable, but it applies directly to the spiritual eternal life principle that we have been given here. But when the servant came and told his Lord these things, told the man that sent him out, told him what happened, he was angry. Well, you would be too if you went to a lot of trouble to make a feast. And the people you invited said, no, 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 we can't come. We're too busy. That would be your friends. So then you go out to the people that you don't know. That's what he did. He went to the, brought in the, they went out, the servant went out, and he went to the homeless shelter, and he saw the people lined up. He said, hey, come, we've got a black tie dinner over here. You're welcome to come. And they said, oh, no, we can't, we're not good enough. He just grabbed them up and stuck them in the bus and hauled them over there. It compelled them. So they went to the nursing home, and they opened the doors, and they just started hauling people out of the nursing home, put them in the bus, took them to the over there to the big house. And they went to the hospital, and they said, everybody that's not too sick to come, let's go. And there was still room. See, those people didn't reject the invitation. They were happy. The homeless man that was hungry, absolutely, he wouldn't miss it. And the Lord said, well, they said, there's still room. The Lord said, well, go out into the highways and the hedges. So they went out into the country. They went, drove out, and they found the people living in the woods, and they loaded them up. And they found the people, they weren't even getting, these weren't friends, they were just people. They were just random people. They just went out and got people. But the friends that they knew, they didn't invite them again. They lost the invitation because they were too busy. It's not that the invitation won't happen if we don't take it. It's that it'll happen without us. God's kingdom will still go on, even if we're not a part of it, but we will be the losers. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 19. There is in verse 10 there's an opportunity that happened. an opportunity that was given and an opportunity that was not taken. And this was actually not a parable. Genesis 19, this was something that actually happened. But it also applies. And this is the story of Lot when he was in Sodom. And we know the story of Lot. You know how Lot was a little bit like the man who had the yoke of oxen or bought a piece of ground. Abram gave him, we'll back up a little bit. Abram gave him a choice. He said, we need you to separate. We need to separate. Our partnership isn't working because there's too much or too many of us on one pile. So he said, you can pick where you want to go and I'll take the other place. Well, Lot, he decided to take the best looking land for himself. But it was close to Sodom, and Sodom had a bad reputation. It wasn't a good place to live, but it was a good place to make money at, I guess. So Lot moved down there, and then before long he ended up in Sodom. But while Lot was doing well and his business flourished and his wife really enjoyed the social life and his children acclimated to the culture and they were really had things going on, Lot was really, really bothered by all the sin that he saw there in Sodom. Just terrible lot of sin. And he was really bothered with that. But he didn't leave. And so God went down to look at Sodom. God said, it's enough. I'm gonna just wipe the city off the map. But he was going to get Lot out of there. So anyway, in verse 10, this is after the angels had come in there and Lot had invited them home and they were inside and there was a whole bunch of people that were there to get these men out. And they had smote. They were going to break down the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, the angels did, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides? Do you have any more family here, Lot? Is this all? We're here to get you out of the city, because we will destroy the place. You have son-in-law, sons, daughters, whatever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, because we're going to destroy it. Because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Oh, and Lot believed them. He had seen how they